Junks are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. It's an open line Thursday. You're welcome to call us throughout the show on the MGM National Harbor listener lines, 800-636-1067. We have a very simple question for the listeners. Are we too high on the Washington Commanders heading into their game against the Cleveland Browns? They're 3-1. They're atop the NFC East. They're the second highest scoring team in the NFC, just behind the New Orleans Saints. Might be a little bit fraudulent. They're a little front-loaded with their points. And they face the Chiefs Monday night. Are we too high on the Commanders?
But remember how you were talking about them after the first 2 weeks.
I'm well aware.
Now, this is more recent with Washington after the last 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. But if you flip-flopped it, how would you be talking about New Orleans now after the last 2 weeks if they were averaging 40 a game?
Cakes, your answer is it's highly possible. What is the combined record of the teams that they have beaten? It's 3-9.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Now, Cincinnati, I believe, is not
better than
as
their
bad
record.
As their record, where they're 1-3.
Well, their run defense is bad.
But
they're going to get a healthy dose of Derrick Henry this weekend.
The only team they faced with a winning record is Tampa, and Tampa beat them pretty handily.
Mm-hmm.
And the defense hasn't improved. It did improve in the Arizona game in terms of the yardage, but not against the run.
Right.
And so this game is going to speak volumes, I think.
It's
going to
be a big test.
And the Ravens game will speak volumes. But I think it is entirely possible that it's not just us.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has gotten carried away with the Jaden mania, number one selling jersey on Fanatics. He got slimed because he was Nickelodeon's, MVP
of the week. Okay, didn't see that, but good for him. Here's the test. The Browns are coming into Northwest Stadium, and they suck on offense. They've yet to have a 300-yard game on offense through 4 weeks. If they come in here and somehow put up like 350 to 375 total yards when they haven't been able to do that all season long,
it's a big issue.
Then you're just going to be like, okay, the defense still a fraud, even though they held Arizona to 14 points last week. It's still an Achilles heel for them. That's going to haunt them throughout the season.
We just had Baldinger on.
Mm-hmm.
And Baldinger lauded the Cleveland Browns defense. So it will be a test for this offense. I don't know that the defense can really get that much better. They just don't have the personnel.
I think it kind of depends on the opponent. You know what I mean? Like if the opponent has a really bad offensive line that can maybe take advantage of it. But if they've got a legit quarterback and a good offensive line.
Yeah. You could also argue that
they'll be able to move the ball on
that
team.
The Browns, they've faced some pretty inferior competition as well.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, they've dropped games to the Giants and the Raiders, and their only win is a squeaker over the Jags. So maybe they just haven't seen an offense they're about to see this weekend.
How would you answer your own question, Cakes?
Are we too high on them? I'd say maybe slightly. I don't think we're way too high on them. Maybe a little too high.
Here's how
the defense still scares me.
The defense is very mediocre.
It's actually kind of terrifying.
Yeah. So it's impossible. I can't buy them as a postseason threat of any real note unless they win their next two. If they beat the I expect them to beat the Browns. Mm-hmm. By the way, that'll also send us back.
If
they lose to the Browns.
I don't expect them to beat the Ravens.
I don't either.
In Baltimore?
I don't either. I think it's a 1-20 shot. But if they beat the Ravens, then all bets are off. Then they actually got something.
Well,
if they beat the Ravens, they actually have something. Because it makes no sense on paper. Derrick Henry will have 250 yards against them. Lamar will have 150. They're gonna give up 400 rushing yards.
True, but let's say they do.
They have it in them.
Let's just say they do. Because I expect Henry and Lamar to run all over them, and I'd expect them to lose that game.
Yeah.
But if they win Sunday and they're 4-1, the Ravens game's kind of gravy because then you get the Panthers Bears.
I think they have a realistic shot. I said to get to 7-2, but I'm just saying, even then it would just be like, you know what, good fortune, good schedule, kind of, you know what I mean. You can't get too crazy.
No, I don't.
If they beat the Ravens, I'll actually say they're legit contenders.
If they're 5-1
and they beat the Ravens, they're legit.
If they beat
contenders.
The Ravens in their house, then your expectations get ratcheted up.
What if they lose to the Browns but beat the Ravens?
I mean, it'd be fluky, but I would still say they're probably contenders. If you beat the Ravens, you're just legit with their record.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we get to like, what would that be? I guess we would
four
be
and,
five.
4-2 if four they and lose. Two. If they lose to the Browns,
one of the next two, 4-2.
Yeah. I don't see a scenario where we lose to the Browns and then beat the Ravens. I mean, that would just be the craziest thing.
All right, we're taking your calls at 800-636-1067. Are we officially too high on the Washington Commanders
at
this point?
Offensive explosions, are they flukes?
What are the percentages of making the playoffs at 4-1? It's got to be really freaking high.
Well, I think at 3-1, we said it was like 64% or something.
Well, to win the division at 3-1, if you're atop the division after week 4, mm-hmm. It was right around 68% to make the playoffs.
That's a solid sweat, EB.
And then just make the playoffs is 77%. So you're likely to win the division, and you're likely to make the playoffs.
Gotcha.
I mean, think about it. They make the playoffs in the first year after re-gutting the entire roster.
Right.
And rookie quarterback, whole new staff. I mean, that's...
ahead of schedule.
Look.
Way ahead.
We're probably jumping the gun because they played 4 out of 17.
Right.
But man, that would be unbelievable.
It'd be great.
And if you beat the Browns and you're 4-1, you got basically 80% chance of doing it.
All right, let's bounce some of these calls. If you want to chime in, are we getting ahead of our? What are we?
Are we too high? Are we too high?
Too high
on the Commanders?
Are we over our skis?
Might be a little bit.
Well, if they continue and just drum the Browns,
right.
That's another one where I'm going to have to say we might be really on to something. And I do expect to beat them.
I mean, if they beat the Browns 31-17,
yes. Getting into juggernaut.
Well, if they do that, then someone's not happy.
Oh, 31-17. If it's Drab's praying for a 28-13
win. Is that stressing you out at all, or you're just not even thinking about it?
I had forgotten about it until just now.
Sorry about that.
All right.
Just thinking about the score.
Drab needs it to be like 10-3 Commanders at the half.
I don't think they're going to get to 31s or 31 points.
All right, let's go to Steve in D.C. Steve, what's up?
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
What's up, Steve?
Right.
Just two things. First thing is I don't think we're going too high on the Commanders, okay? Second thing is I know you guys were talking about this yesterday, but I think that the Devontae Adams thing will be a suggestion for the simple fact when we start getting later on into these late seasons and we start playing like we're headed towards the playoffs. So when we start getting towards the playoffs, we start seeing these later teams that want to start playing as press, I think we're going to have to, you know, when these cornerbacks start playing these playoff caliber, you know, shutdown corners, we're going to need a Devontae Adams to kind of break free because I like Noah Brown, but I think he's third at best as a receiver. And also this, I just also heard that Devontae started following Jaden Daniels as of yesterday. So you might want to look into that.
Interesting.
Because, yeah, I mean, when we start getting to the playoffs, we're going to need somebody to kind of break free, especially if they're double-teaming Terry. So we're going to need another outside receiver to put that pressure off of him, especially if we're projected to go to the playoffs. We're going to need that extra man. I think we could play a push
for the playoffs,
but I think he gets us over that hump once we get further and later into the season where we need that extra man. So why not go grab him and take him away from other playoff contenders that might need the receiver like him?
It just doesn't smell like an Adam Peters type of move to me.
Yeah.
To go get an aging receiver.
I would bet against it. If I had to place a bet on Devontae going somewhere, it would be like the Jets or the Chiefs, maybe the Saints. I don't know. You're right. It doesn't seem like a Washington move.
Somebody told me this. I'm just gonna,
I think he would. He would certainly help.
Pure rumor, and
a little birdie whispered it in your ears.
Pure rumor. Okay. Pure rumor.
Yes,
but they said that they know Tyreek Hill's mother.
Okay,
and that there's some interest in going after him.
And this is via Tyreek Hill's mom.
Mom talking to a friend.
Mom talking to a friend that Tyreek Hill wants to leave Miami.
I don't know.
Potentially,
maybe he's not happy. I mean. It's kind of a poop show there, right?
I mean, until Tua comes back,
Tua will be back in, I don't know, 3 weeks.
And he's a lot cheaper. I think his contract situation is a lot cheaper than Devontae.
He's going to want the big money. Yeah, he's going to want an extension.
Bill Barnwell from ESPN commented, trading for Devontae Adams would be a statement of intent, a sign this franchise will strike when the iron is hot and do what it takes to build a real winner. Adams to the Commanders would be the best fit for all parties.
Mm-hmm.
It's opinion.
EB, the more I look at this matchup, the more I think that the Commanders absolutely just can't lose to the Browns.
Well, they certainly are capable.
They're the second worst in the league, 246 yards of offense per game.
Mm-hmm.
They average 16.5 points per game. Oh, and here's a bonus. Their offensive line has allowed the most sacks so far through four games.
The offensive line is bad because of the injuries.
Those are two things, though, that we don't do that great. We're not great at pressuring.
I know they're not great at pressuring the quarterback, but they pressured Kyler last week.
Yeah, I was going to say, last week they took advantage of a bad offensive line.
Right. But what did Baldy just say about the Browns? He said that Deshaun had a long touchdown pass, which was called back because of a shaky holding call.
Right.
That, and other people said that it was Deshaun's best game. And he said the defense is legit.
Okay, it's Deshaun's best game against a bunch of stinkers.
Yeah.
Who cares? You know what? I'm officially not worried about Deshaun Watson. Chalk me up as officially not worried about him.
All right, but worried about the defense. Worried about their ends.
Worried about the defense a little bit. Not worried about Deshaun Watson.
I'm not worried about Deshaun. No. But I am worried
I wouldn't
about
be worried about their offense.
Whatever random running back gouges us up the middle.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be two anybody. Pretty good receivers. I think you're sleeping on this Cleveland game a little bit.
I'll be humiliated if we lose.
It dovetails on being too high on the Commanders and snoozing on the just woefully inefficient on offense Cleveland Browns.
Right. They should win because I think they'll be able to run all over them, and Jaden's been playing great.
And
I think their rush defense has been terrible.
Eckler may be back too.
But I think their defense is going to be
a problem.
A little bit of a test.
Yeah, I would agree.
All right, let's go. Let me see here.
But if there is a player who can kind of bounce and get away from those ends,
right,
and get out, it's JD.
All right, a bunch of people want to chime in on this. Some people say we are too high on him. Let's go to Derek in Culpeper. Derek, what's up? Derek, are you there? Valdez, is he punched up? Okay, let me put him on hold. Let's try Ron, Poolsville. Ron, what's up?
Hey, Ron. Hey, guys. How you doing? I think you are just a little bit too high because they haven't played either the Dallas Cowboys or the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, if they get splits, the real marker for me that they've arrived would be beating them away, either one of those teams. I don't know what the schedule's like right now.
You don't think the Bengal win on Monday Night Football was an impressive win?
It was. It was because it was an away game against talent that we know is there. But you got to beat guys in your division.
Hey, they've only had one opportunity to do that, and they did it.
Yeah.
That was an impressive win, EB, but it brings up the larger point on the defensive side. They didn't force a punt in that game.
I know.
All right, believe me. We'll continue to take your calls next on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines, 800-636-1067. Are we too high on the Commanders? Are you too high on the Commanders heading in to their matchup against the Browns this weekend? We'll be right back. We're taking your calls on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines, 800-636-1067. Very simple question. Are we too high right now on the Washington Commanders? Are we getting swept up in the Jaden mania? It kind of might be. I'm getting swept up.
I think it depends on the person. Like,
yeah,
where would you rank them on a power poll? Like, you'll see. I saw one that had the Commanders number three in the NFL.
That was RG3's, I believe.
I wouldn't have them that high. I would have them at 10 or 11.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
I think top 12 isn't outrageous with the way Jaden is playing.
Right.
I don't think
that's too high.
The only thing that keeps me from ranking them higher is the defense.
Correct.
I still think Philadelphia at full strength, which they haven't been yet, is the better team. They have the better overall offense. I don't think you would question that.
I mean, I love they've got Barkley, weapons they've got, more than Washington.
Yeah.
Sure.
So I would put certainly in the division, I would put them above Washington if they're healthy. I know if's a big word, but so I probably agree with you. Would I put them at? I wouldn't put them at like 7 or 6 or 5. Maybe 10, 11,
yeah,
12.
Yeah, I think 10, 11 is a good range for them right now.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Derek in Culpeper. Derek, what do you think? Are we too high on them right now?
Hey, Junkies, good morning.
What's up?
First off, I do think the Commanders hit a home run with drafting Jaden Daniels and hiring their coach.
Mm-hmm.
They hit a home run with that. But I think you are just a tiny bit too high because if the Giants had a kicker – They'll be 2-2 right now.
I think that's the context matters. It's just the last two games have been so impressive.
Buccaneers with a winning team, so their combined record against the teams that they won are 3-9. So I don't know. We'll really know how good they are by week 8. Until then, it's all up in the air. But Jaden Daniels is a stud.
Right, he's for real. I've seen enough. I have like guys like Drab. They say no, they didn't need to see more. I've seen enough. He's the real deal.
Here's the thing. He's not even close to being a finished product yet.
No.
Well, and he's barely scratched the surface.
He's crushing through 4 weeks as a rookie.
Yeah. I mean, to me, he's already demonstrated he can make all the throws. We already know that his footwork is incredible. Like,
his accuracy is uncanny.
His accuracy is off the charts. I mean, obviously, it's going to come back to earth a little bit, but I don't know. I've seen enough. He's the real deal. He's only going to get better.
Can I give you a warning sign?
Sure. Yeah.
And maybe with I'm Jayden? Wrong on this. No, I just punched up Marcus Mariota's rookie season.
Yeah.
So he started off his rookie career in his first 4 games, if I'm adding this correctly, with 8 touchdowns and 3 picks. Skyrocket high completion percentage. Had one game where he threw for 367 yards, and he's Marcus Mariota.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't think Jayden has it in his range of outcomes to go to the depths that Marcus Mariota has at this point in his NFL career.
It's hard.
Mania through 4 weeks. Yeah. I just don't see him.
But Jayden is not even really on stats. The only stat that Jayden has that's knocking everyone's socks off is the
completion
percentage, which I think is kind of absurdly
high.
He's
not throwing for a ton of touchdowns.
Yeah, it's not, so I'm not basing it on, he's got a ton of touchdowns.
Right, but what I'm saying is Marcus Mariota.
I'm just looking at the eye test.
His first game he ever played, if this is correct, was in 2015. 13 for 15 for 209 yards and 4 touchdowns, no picks. Then the next week he had 2 touchdowns and no picks. Then he started throwing a couple picks here and there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just look at the fact that Jaden Daniels is leading this offense to historic numbers in his first month as a pro. This is from Josh Norris from Underdog Sports at Josh Norris on Twitter. So the Washington Commanders with Jaden Daniels, Oz, Noah Brown, and Jeremy McNichols are equal to Brady, Moss, and Welker, Mahomes, Tyreek, and Kelsey, Rodgers, and Adams, and the greatest show on turf because they have the second best offense in terms of EPA per play in the first 4 weeks of a season since 1999.
No, all the stats are amazing. More touchdown drives
than
incompletions. It is historic. All I'm saying is there's been other guys, and I just randomly picked a guy who's on this team.
Yeah.
I think eligible to play this week, finally. Marcus Mariota, who in his rookie season, now he only played 12 games, had 19 touchdowns with 10 picks, had a quarterback rating of 91.5.
He's already better than Marcus Mariota ever was in the
pros.
Okay,
but he came out of the gate.
He's already better in a month.
He came out of the gate similarly hot.
Okay.
Then the league adjusted.
What's the, Valdez, what is our term for Jaden? Can't bust?
Can't bust.
Can't bust. He's pretty close to can't bust, I think.
No, you can't miss. That was mine.
No, we comboed.
Can't bust, that was mine.
We comboed bust proof and can't miss.
All right, let's go to Johnny in D.C. Johnny, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Johnny?
Hey, Johnny.
Hey, man, I don't think we're too high. I don't think you guys are too high on the Commanders, and this is why. If you look at the first 2 games, the difference is they're finally putting the ball in the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
They're scoring touchdowns now. They had the Giants, 7 field goals.
Mm-hmm.
Tampa Bay missed 2 field goals. That messed the game up as well. I think if you look at it, they're doing the same thing they was doing week 1. The only difference is they're scoring touchdowns now. So they continue to do that, I think. You know, sky's the limit.
Yeah,
know,
I mean, but that Giants game honestly was marred, and I dismissed it right away by those dumb penalties. Remember all those penalties? Like every time we got in the red zone, false start. And then they fixed it.
Yeah.
Right.
And then, boom, there you go. Offensive explosion. Now we scored 80 points.
That Daniel Jones looked really good in that game.
We still have an issue stopping the run.
Yeah.
But Singletary looked good against them.
But there have
been
teams. And
then the next week, they didn't even force one punt.
I can remember, haven't there been Patriot teams? Haven't there been, like, Chief teams that have been dominant offensively but then sieves defensively, and they got pretty far, at least in the regular season?
I'm sure. It's not like every team is great offensively and defensively.
I think this Commanders team, they're prepared every week to go into a shootout with people because they know the defense is flawed.
Right.
And I don't know if you're necessarily going to have to get into a shootout with the Browns because even against a bad defense, I just don't know if it's capable for Watson to put up huge numbers.
I don't think we're giving it enough credit. I mean, Daniels has been awesome, okay? He gets a lot of the credit. We're not giving enough credit to the running game, Brian Robinson. Mm-hmm. And I know Daniels is part of it.
Right.
But Brian Robinson and the offensive line.
For sure.
I brought that up on Monday.
I think more credit should be given to them. Everyone
some of these analytics, I don't know if you've seen it, have them as a top five like pass blocking offensive line.
I mean, they're number three in the league in rushing. I mean, we've never seen that with this team.
That's remarkable.
Yeah.
Two games of over 200 yards rushing in the first month of the season. Mm-hmm. Only team in the league to do that.
All right, let's go to...
Well, it's kind of the Ravens formula with Lamar Jackson. Have Lamar Jackson plus your running game,
I would say.
They've got Jaden Daniels, similar, which adds to the running total.
It's a nice blueprint for them to follow.
All right, let's go to Andre in Manassas. Are we overhyping them?
Andre. I don't think so, man. I really don't think so. I mean, it's not like I'm listening to you guys. It's not like I'm hearing people talk about playoffs or Super Bowl. And listen, the bottom line is this. You can't fluke your way into 80 points in this league. I think one of you guys said it earlier. We got 30 years of the team not being able to fluke 30 points in a game. So when you put, 30 points, 35 and 42 back-to-back games, I mean, that's something. You can't. We shouldn't be like, you know, Eeyore or, you know, one of those, like, you know, cartoon characters that nothing ever good happens to us.
It's incredibly impressive what they've done on offense over the last 2 weeks.
And I think the defense will be okay. I mean, let's face it. I know they've not been gangbusters recently, but they didn't really play. Talking about, like, our defensive tackles played during the preseason. So, you know, this is their fourth game. I mean, this is going to be the fifth game, I think. So I really expect to see the continued improvement in the defense. I think each game they've gotten better and better, and I think it's only going to continue. So I really think, you know, this game coming up this Sunday, I think you'll see probably be the best game for the defense this year.
Hmm. All right. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. All right. Let's go to AJ. AJ, what's up, man? What do you think?
What's up, man? Okay. I think we deserve to be high, man. If we are high, like really high on it, so what, man? We deserve it, man. It's been a long time since we had a
win. You're very right on that. There's some truth to that, yeah.
I'm tired of people calling in, you know, and be like, oh, if the Giants had a kicker, we'd be 2-2 or this or that, man. Just enjoy the wins, you know?
Do you think it's
crazy? No matter
crazy,
how it happens.
Do you think it's crazy to look ahead?
It doesn't matter. A win is a win.
Yeah.
Do you think it's crazy to look ahead and say, I honestly think in my heart of hearts, that we have a realistic shot to be 7-2. That beat Cleveland, lose to the Ravens, beat Carolina, beat Chicago, and beat the Giants.
I don't think it's completely unrealistic. Below us. I don't think it's unrealistic.
I mean, I don't either, man. I mean, we've been playing good offensively, defensively. I mean, the Arizona game was a big step up for the defense, I believe.
Right.
And if they can keep going like that, man, I mean, who knows? We can be, and if not, then so what, man? It's been good so far, man. You know, we've seen Jaden Daniels play really good, and we can't ask more than that, man. He's a rookie. He's only played 4 games so far.
Do you have any red flags with Jaden? Is there something that in Jaden's game, some huge hole in his game that's going to be exploited, and he's just going to fall off?
I don't think so, man. He's unbelievable, man. I mean, people say that, oh, he needs to stop rushing or start sliding and all that. Just let the man play his game, man. He knows how to play. He's been doing it for all his life. He knows what he's doing.
Right.
He's sliding
and
now.
And getting back to the Giants game, that's where coaching comes up huge. Brian Daboll knew his kicker was banged up heading into the game. All he has to do is call somebody up off the practice squad, sign another kicker. Mm-hmm. He didn't do it.
He botched it.
That's bad coaching by him. That's a bad organizational decision by the Giants. Maybe it wasn't just Daboll, but he's the head coach. The buck stops with him.
Or you tell
that's bad Graham coaching Gano, by the Giants.
You tell Graham Gano, look, don't if Eckler takes it back to the house, right. You're not running after him.
Right.
Don't
just,
chase anybody.
Just let it happen.
Don't chase anybody on the field because you're not 100%. That's what I would have told him.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Cassidy, California,
hey, Cassidy.
Maryland.
Where's hey, that guys, how you guys doing?
I don't know where that is, EB.
Cassidy, what's up?
St. Mary's.
St. Mary's, that's so far.
St. Mary's, Maryland by Solomon's
Gotcha.
Near Solomon's Island.
Solomon's Island.
So I have something that I've been hearing you guys. I've been a lifelong Washington fan. Saw a Super Bowl when I was 8 years old. The one point I must say is that during that Giants game that nobody's really talking about is, you know, man, you got to get some luck sometime, and our luck has been not really good for a long time. Mm-hmm. We got some luck in that game, but what I really truly think that luck did, and it was a home win, it gave us confidence moving forward, mm-hmm. and they just got even better off of it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you got to have luck, and I tell you what, we haven't had any luck or anything, and some things went our way, and I'm totally stoked about Jaden Daniels. He's a stud. I don't think you guys are too high. I think we're rolling. You know, let's go, man.
All right, thank you, buddy.
Well, you brought up a good point. Look, they self-destructed with false starts in that game, so they could have put up a lot more points.
Yeah.
And they cleaned that up the next week.
I mean, even with all those penalties, I think we scored on every possession, other than when we maybe kneeled it or whatever at the end of the half.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's encouraging. He's leading the offense into scoring position with stunning regularity.
I mean, I know it's crazy because they're just coming off two games where we scored to 80 and it's like a real high, but honestly, it made me think of 91.
It harkens you back.
It did. Now, we don't have Darryl Green and we don't have, you know, Charles Mann.
Yeah.
We don't have those guys, but
you got fired up.
But three of the next four are on, they've played three out of four on the road.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, but three of the next four are at home. Let's see how the home field advantage works for them. If it does, I would assume it's going to be packed. Northwest State is going to be packed.
I mean, it has to be a sellout, right? Like, I haven't heard it's a sellout, but I would assume it'll be a sellout.
It's got
to
be close.
Coming off the two impressive road wins.
All right, let's go to Scott, Silver Spring. Scott, what's up?
Hey, Scott.
Hey, fellas, how y'all doing?
What's up?
I don't think we're overhyping anything right now. No one's talking Super Bowl. And I mean, yeah, the Giants kicker got hurt. So what? We scored on seven consecutive drives. And if you hadn't gotten hurt, maybe we would have went for it on fourth down or whatever. You know, you don't know how it plays out. And we don't know how to tap both field goals because the game's totally different then. So, I mean, Shaden's playing great. We're running the ball. We're moving in the right direction. That's the big thing. Dan's gone. So what else can you say, man?
Right.
Mm. Yeah, enjoy the ride.
Yep. Enjoy the Dubs. Hopefully there's another one looming this weekend.
If they beat the Browns, at least you can say, look, they're beating the inferior teams.
Right, beating mm-hmm. teams they should beat. They're
beating the teams they should beat, which in years past, that didn't happen.
Yep. You're welcome to call us on an open line Thursday.
It's kind of like a must win.
It's brought to you by Window Nation. Searching for new windows and doors, search windownation.com. Their windows are measured to fit the first time and installed by experts to last. Window Nation for your home. Because it's where you live. We'll be right back. The Junkies Poll of the Day is brought to you by Scotty's Vodka. Maryland made, super smooth, love throughout the DMV. You can go to @JunksRadio on Twitter, cast your vote. Are we all too high on the Commanders right now? Go cast your vote now. Make your voice heard.
All right. You know, we've got listeners all over the country. And, you know, we've got a listener. His name's Mark, and he lives down in Florida. Hurricane Helene was just devastating, still is. Especially to state of North Carolina, Western North Carolina, but you know it hit Florida first, mm-hmm. The Tampa area. And Mark is on the line. Mark, you there, buddy?
Oh, I don't see him. Hold on.
I think he's second line.
Mark, what's up, bud?
Mark, you there?
I punched him up. I don't know if it's working.
Hey, I'm here. I'm sorry about that.
That's all good.
Mark, what's up, buddy? So Mark's a listener. He lives full time down in St. Petersburg. Kind of give us your story on what happened when Hurricane Helene came through.
Cool. So, yeah, thanks for taking my call. I've been down here over 20 years, so I've experienced a lot of near misses and some a little closer than that. This was certainly the biggest one, but very interesting because we have almost no wind damage and the trees are standing and the tiles are still on all the roofs.
Hmm.
But everything here is equally ruined, even though it doesn't necessarily look that way because we had the flooding and, of course, by now, 6 days later, the streets are just covered with, I mean, all of our stuff. We were as prepared as normal. Our house, neighbors behind us have lived here over 50 years, never had water in their house. We knew it was bad, but we also knew the hurricane was 150 miles offshore from us.
you know, the center, so it was getting nowhere near us. That's why we didn't have the wind.
Mm-hmm.
But the storm surge was certainly something this town's never seen before. It broke records by multiple feet, more than recorded history.
How high was it?
So inside the house, about 2.5 feet, mm-hmm. maybe close to 3 at its max. Outside the house, a foot higher than that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's how it all happened. At 6 o'clock, the streets were dry. 6:30, okay, there's water in the streets and it's starting to come up over the curb. All right, we're used to this. Then at some point, I said, we can't just stare at it because it doesn't help. And we never looked out the back of my house because it seemed higher. And then when I looked out back, I said, well, this is a lot worse. This is getting really bad. It's coming in from every direction. So
how close do you live to a body of water?
I'm on a barrier island, St. Pete Beach, across from where Eric's friends live in Tampa.
Okay.
So we're right on the, I'm not directly on the Gulf, but these islands, the island I'm on is maybe a half a mile wide. So you're on Gulf of Mexico one side, Intercoastal Waterway the other side.
So how maybe. Bad did it get in the middle of the night?
Okay, so by about midnight, it was rising several feet several inches per hour. But once it started coming in the house, it started coming in from around walls, places that made no sense, but it was just coming in. And then as we escaped to the highest bed we have a Japanese chin, by the way, Johnny Cakes.
So the
dog was up on the bed with us and he didn't know what to make of it. Mm-hmm. He kept wanting to get down. And I'm like, no, just stand there. I don't care if you have to pee, but we can't. He's never going to go in the water, but he was just freaked out as we all were. That's when things got real interesting because it was now coming to the top of our bed and we thought about maybe a counter. We had neighbors that we were texting that were up on their counters and dining table, that sort of thing. Jesus. And then we heard an alarm we'd never heard before. And my wife's like, I think it's coming from the garage. So I wade through the water towards the garage. And water is now pressure. It's trying to bow the door in a foot higher than what it already is in the house. So I could tell the garage had that much more water. And it was the first and last day that my Tesla ever got parked inside the garage because that's when we started smelling burning electrical. With that smell, you can just, you know it. And
Wow. That's
when things got really scary because now the Tesla was on fire or burning and you know the electric smell, but I didn't open the door. I'm smart enough to know that, you know, I feel the door, there's not an actual fire.
I'd be worried about getting electrocuted and all that.
Yeah, I mean,
absolutely, the power had went out earlier, but I was also an electrician in the Navy, so I turned the power off to the whole house earlier in the day.
At what point, Mark, did you feel like, all right, we have to start swimming outside of the house and get out of here?
When the burning was, I wasn't worried about the water because by that point the hurricane had gone past us. I mean, I was worried about the water, but other than execution, I didn't think we were going to die. It's that fire aspect that's when we started making the plan. And my wife wanted to get on the paddleboard and go down to a neighbor's house. And I was like, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. We're not doing that. That's how people die. And by then, the winds weren't that bad, so I made a plan that we would just, as soon as that thing flashed over to fire, as soon as we smelled real smoke or heat, then we're out the bedroom window in about 3 or 4 feet of water, and then we'd get on a ladder that was out there and crawl on my neighbor's roof and just wait it out from there.
Did you feel like that was your last day on Earth? Did you feel like you, it was?
Yeah,
it
was I've had two incidents in my life like that. It was terrifying. The weirdest thing was I stayed calm both times. I had a gun in my face years ago, same kind of thing. I just stayed calm and tried to keep my wife calm, you know, because that's what I worry about. And of course,
my wife would have been freaking out.
Yeah, the text, we could still text. So the kids are messaging me, people from other places. And yeah, I thought it was my last day. I posted a couple videos that I'm like, well, somebody should see this and learn from it. You know, I don't know where this is going to end.
What do you have left? What do you have left? I mean, what's nothing. The house, the cars, everything's gone.
Yeah. Both cars are gone. Over 90%, maybe 95% of everything I own is now piled next to me in the garage, in the driveway or in the yard.
Where are you living?
Well, this is going to amaze you, but we're in the house, but only for 2 more days. We got rid of everything except we got a bed in. so we have one bed that we can stay in. But I got to get this drywall down before the house is a complete loss. So we've been working here in the heat and everything, and you can just imagine the stench down here. But we got a generator, and so now we have a portable AC unit so we can keep one room cool, and we're staying here one more night, and then we got friends that we're going to go, and we had all kinds of offers, but it's you just, you're so lost.
So do you have insurance for all this stuff?
Yeah, is insurance going to cover any of this?
Well, here's how this works. When you're in a zone A down here, you have to have flood insurance unless you own the house outright. But the insurance, it will cover nothing that I own. So every bed, every TV, all that's gone. All my personal stuff, all childhood pictures, of course, that can't be replaced. It's all gone. Mm. The only thing the flood insurance does is it will fix the house.
They'll rebuild the house.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's like a $13,000 deductible, you know, and you're already at the people.
What about
your cars? Oh, they're, you know, the insurance, they're going to give us what the car is worth.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't, you know.
I get it.
And there's just endless immediate fixes that are a problem. So,
all right. Well, I'm going to I'm going to do this for you, Mark. I'm going to throw out your Venmo because I have your Venmo address. So if people want to help you, because I know you're struggling, it's at mark-green-187. That's your Venmo, correct?
That's correct. Yeah. And to make it more fun, I'm also a commission only sales rep and my territory is all gone too. But, you know, we're going to laugh our way through this and get through it somehow. And I do want to say thank you, first of all, for taking my call and messaging me, Jason.
Yep.
But to the listeners out there, you don't have to help me. If you can and you want to, great. But if you don't, help somebody in North Carolina, help somebody in Tennessee, because
it was a big one.
I'm about to tear up. But anyway, thank you so much.
All right, buddy. Hang in there, man.
Dude, man. I just feel for him.
Yeah.
Hang in there.
Glad you're alive, bro.
Everything wiped out.
Man,
terrible.
I couldn't even imagine being in my house 1:30, water rising, wife freaking out. Mm-hmm. Where do we go? What do we
do? Where was he living?
Like, it's on a barrier island, St. Pete Beach. Yeah.
I mean, was he supposed to evacuate? I'm just asking.
Yeah,
but he said,
like he said, he's been there for 20. He's been there 20 years, and they have all of these storms and evacuations, and nothing ever happens
until
the one time.
Yeah,
but he's close to water on both sides. It seems like.
Yeah.
That's a nightmare. What'd he say? He's a sales guy, too? Is that what he does?
I think so.
Yeah. I mentioned he's a sales guy.
And his kids are grown?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, he was texting his kids at 1:30 in the morning going, we may not see you again.
Right.
I was asking Jason how this guy got his email, and he said, well, at one point, he Venmo'd Jason some money for something.
No, he lost a bet to me.
Oh, there it is.
Well, I originally saw him on the text machine.
Right.
And he goes, okay. I'll bet you. I think it was a basketball bet or something. And so he Venmo'd me, so I had his Venmo.
Well, ship him a few bucks. He's in a tough spot.
Yeah.
A lot of people are.
Sad story.
Yeah.
And that's just one story out of millions.
Yeah, probably
he lives in Tampa. He was driving by on his way to work, and he was just showing a video of just everybody has all their life at the end of the street.
Yeah.
Like just belongings, mm-hmm. Trash now. Just, you know, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know how people deal with that. I mean, you know that's going to happen every year in like August, September.
Look, as long as you and your family survive, that's the important thing. Now, you can always rebuild your house and get new
possessions.
Yeah,
you can't get those pictures back.
Yep.
Yeah, those memories. I mean, that part sucks.
Yeah.
But as long as you're still alive and make it through, that's most important thing.
That's the one thing
I think
about.
Some people didn't have that luxury.
About possibly living near the coast whenever
down
the
road. You have to deal with that.
I mean, that you deal with that threat.
So when
Drabby's saying live in Arizona, mm-hmm. you don't got to worry about that. You just got to worry about 120 degrees every day.
You just got to worry about
melting. But you don't have to worry about people, you know, swimming outside of your house to save your life.
Scary stuff. All right, we have to get out of here. We'll see you again tomorrow.
Football tonight.
Yeah, Thursday Night Football. Beamish and Finley coming up next here on The Fan.